Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. Let me read a verse for you in the book of Daniel, chapter 4. That's where we're going to be today. We're going to talk about Daniel, chapter 4 in our series on the book of Daniel. My brand new Daniel study guide is here. It's on the website. You can order it right now. Or hey, wait till after the show to call, okay? And you don't want to miss the show. This is an important chapter. Not a prophetic chapter necessarily, but a very important chapter about redemption. And I want to read a verse for you that's in chapter 4. Just going to read the last half of it, chapter 4, verse 25, I believe it is. Seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, mm-hmm. and giveth it to whomsoever he will. That's an important verse there. And by the way, that is the key verse of the entire book of Daniel. You'll see that verse mentioned, I think, in about three places in Daniel. That same statement is made. And God is in charge. He puts in power whomsoever he will. And we're going to see that today. We're going to see something in chapter 4 that happens to Nebuchadnezzar that's ordained of God. And it's going to lead to his redemption. We're going to discuss that today. So stand by. All right. Welcome, everybody. Glad to have you with us today. Be sure that you know that we're listener, viewer supported here. If you want to be a help to our ministry, you want to partner with us, keep us on the air, you can call the 800 number that goes across the screen down there. You can talk to the ladies that answer the phone, and you can give or you can send a check, whatever. And we appreciate every one of you that keeps us going out here. We've been adding some new networks, in case you haven't noticed. We've been adding some. And we're trying to increase our footprint out there because we think what we're doing is important. And so, Doc, we're going through the book of Daniel. Our first episode, by the way, went through the whole book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. I think 18 shows we did.
And she's about got that on a flash
drive. It is on a flash drive. You can order that. It's on the website right now, the flash drive with all of the Revelation studies on it right here in the studio, half-hour shows, 18 of all on one USB drive. There it is right there that you can get for just $35 free shipping. Just go on there and order that. It'll come in a little package. And you can plug it in your smart TV or your computer and watch all shows anytime you want, pause them, you know, whatever, skip around, whatever you want to do. All right, the same thing's going to happen with the book of Daniel. When we finish all 12 chapters, we'll put them on a flash drive as well, and you'll have those that you'll be able to use. So we talked about the introduction. We talked about Daniel chapter 1, Daniel's mm-hmm. resolve, he purposed in his heart.
Absolutely.
And very important chapter for especially
for a young man to have such courage and spiritual fortitude.
Yep, and Daniel was that man. He decided he would die before he would mm-hmm. give in on his convictions.
He wasn't the only one. His cousins was with him.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then we got to Daniel chapter 2, very, very important prophetic chapter. Mm. The times of the Gentiles from man's perspective, the way man looks at kingdoms and mm-hmm. and powers
we
and entities.
We talked about when the prophetic times of the Gentile began.
Yep.
It's always in relationship with Israel.
Right, and it began with Nebuchadnezzar in mm-hmm. Babylon, and it's they're still in it. It's still the times of the Gentiles. Even though they are a sovereign nation, they still pretty much answer to headquarters.
They're still under the general consensus of Gentile leadership.
And that Daniel 2 is so important that it's repeated.
Yes.
Later on, when we get to chapter 7, mm-hmm. we'll find once again that those kingdoms, same kingdoms are mentioned, only this time it's not a statue of gold and silver mm-hmm. and brass. It's
what man thinks of himself.
Right. Wild beasts.
It's what God sees of their nature.
How God looks at it. And we'll get to that when we get there. Daniel chapter 3, the fiery furnace.
Oh, boy.
And we brought out in that chapter the fact that music is involved here.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pied Piper of music.
Music's
is
always a part
us.
Of worship, whether it's biblical worship or satanic worship or whatever it is.
And boy, is it bad today what's going on with the music. And so there's some real important stuff in that chapter about music, the mm-hmm. three parts of music that speak to the three parts of a yes. person. Well, that brings us to chapter four, Doc, where we're at now. And I called the theme, and I told everybody, this will be like no other Daniel study guide you've ever
read. Well, since you've done it, it'd be like
right,
no other.
Down on the bottom shelf. I mean, I do. I joke about that, but I'm not. I am on the bottom shelf. I try to write in a way that the common guy out there will understand what we're saying.
In other words, you're not interested in impressing yeah. the elites.
Not that some of these guys that use big words like you, not that you're trying to impress anybody, because I know you're not. but I am down there. I don't use the
well.
Some
you're
of the big
just
words.
An old cussing sailor that don't cuss anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And those were small words, right? Back then, in them days. And I was U.S. Navy, 1978 to 82. I was on board the USS Savannah, and an oiler, and down the engine room for 4 years, 3.5 years down there, and got called to preach shortly thereafter. After I got out of the Navy. And here we are.
Amen.
And never thought my wildest imagination that we'd ever be doing television.
Well, I never dreamed of this.
Who'd have ever thought? I still wake up in the middle of the night sometimes and say, what am I doing? Yeah. What am I doing here? And so the theme that I give for chapter four is a little long. It's this: the humbling and redemption of a king.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
The humbling. I mean, it's almost like chapter four. You could pull it out of there and keep on going.
Well, it is in a lot of ways. Even the fact it was recorded and written primarily in the Chaldean language.
Right. So this was one of them Aramaic chapters.
Aramaic chapters in the Bible. Yeah.
And as we'll see, I think about three times in this chapter, I make the statement that. Notice that he's speaking in the first person.
Exactly, because
it's almost like he wrote this.
Daniel is the one who's writing it, but I believe Daniel is pulling it out of the decree that Nebuchadnezzar, the testimony that Nebuchadnezzar is giving.
So let me read the first paragraph here. This is page 63 in your Daniel study guide, folks. Turn to page 63 if you have your book. And many folks have ordered it, but many of you haven't got this yet, and you need to get it. Spiral bound, lays nice and flat on your desk. It's wonderful. Each chapter is set up the same. I had a guy call me yesterday. In fact, it was Brother Smith. We were talking on the phone, and he thanked me for sending him one. And he said, I love the way you set it up. He said, it's just so organized.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I have Daniel chapter 1, mm-hmm. 2, 3. Under that, I have the theme of the chapter. Now, I came up with this, and it doesn't mean that you'd get that out of it, but this is the theme that I pick out of the chapter. And then I explain my theme. Sometimes it's half a page, sometimes it's 3 or 4 pages, where I explain the theme of the chapter. Then I have what I call my commentary. That's where I go verse by verse through the chapter.
Not in depth, but...
No. But, and sometimes I'll list 3 or 4 verses mm-hmm, and I'll say
something.
And
give a thought from it.
Sometimes there's a big part.
Because if you went in detail...
Oh, it'd be a huge book, yeah.
You know, every chapter would be bigger yeah. than your book.
So I give a commentary, but it's not in depth. And sometimes mm-hmm. sometimes it's one verse. Sometimes I'll have 8 verses listed and mm-hmm. I'll say, oh, here's what this is saying, and maybe just right. a couple sentences. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that, I have lessons and application. What does this mean to
Very
us?
Very practical in nature.
Yeah. And kind of like what I did in the Revelation study guide. Let me read a paragraph here in the beginning of chapter 4 here. Chapter 4 is written in the first person of King Nebuchadnezzar himself, as if he were writing it. This chapter is a beautiful testimony of a man whose life was filled with pride.
Yeah.
God humbled him by allowing him to lose all that he had. And after 7 years, King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his knees before the God of the universe. The Lord restored him as king after 7 years, as was prophesied. And then I wrote this, pride is the root of most conflicts. And I got several verses here. I'll just read a couple of them. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Where's the one that I want to read here? A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold him. Pride goeth before destruction, Proverbs 16. Proverbs 11, when pride cometh, cometh shame. And when the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor, Psalm 10. But only by pride cometh contention. All fighting has as its root somebody's pride is in the way. And so that's exactly how I introduced the theme here, the humbling of a king. He's filled with pride. He doesn't think he know, doesn't think he needs the God of the universe, has his own gods of stone. And as we'll see, as we go through this, as we see with the fiery furnace, I mean, he built that golden statue of himself.
He definitely thought he was it.
Yeah. Well, God humbles him.
That's it.
And God brings him down low. We don't have time to read the chapter, obviously, but Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Now, this is his second dream. First dream he had was in Daniel 2. We discussed that, where he dreams about the statue. See, Nebuchadnezzar had two dreams in the book of Daniel. The first one was the statue that we already talked about. And he brought the wise men in, as I said, and they couldn't interpret. They didn't know the dream.
He just said he forgot it, you know.
Yeah. So. Now, whether he really forgot or not, he may have just didn't trust them.
Right.
And so this second dream, the same thing. He has this dream. Mm-hmm. In this dream, there's a tree that's cut down, and he doesn't understand it. So he does the same thing. He calls in his wise men.
Right.
And why he didn't go to Daniel like he did the first time, he still went to his wise men and his magicians, and they couldn't tell him. So then he brings Daniel in, and Daniel tells him what this is about. And so he's writing in the first person, not just to Babylon, but to all the people of the world. He could not have known at that time, but he was writing to people 2,500 years into the future, to us.
Yeah.
And Daniel 4:3 says, "How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders." Mm. This is the talk of a man who's going to be redeemed.
Yes.
Because I think if he did write this, and he probably did, and Daniel writes it down, he gives a narrative at the beginning, and then he tells the story, and then he...
Yeah.
So he's already writing as a believer.
Either that or Daniel is making an introductory in verse 3, because verses 1 and through 3 is kind of an introduction.
Yeah.
And then verses 4 through 18 is the account of his pride and arrogance.
Let's read verses 1. Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people. Now, this appears to be him speaking in the first person. Nations and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. That's Nebuchadnezzar. Then he goes on, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. He's talking about the God of heaven here. So here's a man who's gone through this already. And now he's telling the story.
So he's
already glorifying God before he even tells us what happened to him.
That's right.
Verse 3, how great are his signs, talking about God, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And again, I write here, this is my commentary, the chapter is written by the king after his conversion experience
that
he
obvious.
Shares with us. And he's already... glorifying God before we even the reader even knows what happened to him,
and then he begins to tell his testimony.
Yeah. Verses 4 through verse 37 is a man in parentheses the king Nebuchadnezzar telling how his eyes were opened and how his pride was dealt with and his journey to God began.
Right.
In verse 4, Nebuchadnezzar, here he is, the first person. I Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I had everything.
Yep.
And notice I say here the obvious first person account once again. I, Nebuchadnezzar, I was at rest. Everything was fine. I was in my kingdom resting. In verse 5, I saw a dream which made me afraid. By the way, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams.
Yeah.
Daniel
had
visions. Yeah. Difference. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. This is Nebuchadnezzar's second dream. He responds to it just like he did in Daniel chapter 2. He brings in his people. Yeah. None of them can help him. And then at the last, it says here that Daniel came in before me. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, mm-hmm. saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation.
You know, it's interesting that he made it even clear in the beginning of his testimony here that he had given Daniel a name associated with his false god, but he's also recognizing Daniel because the end of Daniel is El, God Almighty. And so in that, he's making it plain that even though I gave Daniel my pagan name, I still recognize him for who he is.
Let me just read a little bit of the dream here. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. He's sharing this with Daniel. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth. So, and I have a picture in the book of a tree stump. And you may not understand this at the moment, those of you watching, but you will in a minute. The tree grew and was strong. That tree is mm-hmm. him. Yep. We find that out in the interpretation later. Mm-hmm. And the height thereof reached unto heaven. Now, Nebuchadnezzar's power reached under the heavens. He was the ruler of the world at that time around
Israel. The known world in his area, yes.
Yep. And the sight thereof to the end of the earth. Everyone knew of him.
Yeah.
The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. Much fruit came out of his kingdom.
Right.
And in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher. And then Holy One came down from heaven. This is most like an angel. Mm-hmm. And cried aloud.
It's obvious. Here, we need to stop for just a minute because we're watching a lot of people today getting all confused about this angel thing.
Yep.
Because he uses the word watcher.
Yep.
And he's writing this in the Achaean, the Chaldean language. Then he made it very clear. You just made it state, from heaven. So he's talking about angelic forces having a part in humanity's affairs.
Yeah, and I think this is the only place in the Bible that watcher is mentioned.
Well, this is why a lot of people want to go here, and they want to then go outside the Bible to the book of Enoch and tie them together when they are not
the same. I'm glad you brought that up, and because I was tempted to write on this, but I said, nah, it's not part
of this
chapter.
Not the place there, but now's the place because you're hearing a lot of people talk about the book of Enoch and all of this other stuff out here, and they like to use this word watchers as if it's fallen angels and other things involved. And that's not, it's talking about angels because he's talking about from heaven, and then he also is going to talk about those that are alive. He's talking about people on earth versus people in an eternal existence.
Now, in verse 14, he cried aloud, and that he's talking about the watcher, which we believe is that angel. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, so cut the tree down, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Talk about devastation of a man and his kingdom.
Talking about his kingdom, his princes and leadership and everything under his power.
Scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump. This is important. Leave the stump, and I got a picture of this stump in here. Leave the stump and his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. Now, you probably understand this band of iron. It's some kind of a protective thing to keep the stump alive.
Well, the key to all of this prophetically is, he said, the roots. And what we're dealing with right now, all the way till the last vial of judgment, is the roots of Babylonianism that have engulfed yet the world today.
Yes, indeed. Nevertheless, leave the stump, leave the roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. That's somehow to protect the stump. And I've seen that on tree farms and things like that. And then it says, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Boy, there's a lot of things you can think of right there, but it's preservation. He's preserving something here that's never going to die. And let his portion be with the beasts of the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's. And let a beast heart be given unto him. That's talking about Nebuchadnezzar losing his kingdom. The leaves fall off the tree. The tree is cut down. But yet God is going to preserve that kingdom for the future.
Yep.
And for 7 years, he's going to live in the forest. He's going to eat grass. He's going to be like a wild animal.
Yeah,
he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar.
Because he's lost his mind.
Yeah. And let seven times, now there's the key, seven times, yeah, 7 years, pass over him.
I tell folks all the time when I'm teaching through the book of Daniel that chapter 4 is a visualization of understanding how to count prophetic time.
Yeah.
7 years.
Yeah, that plus Jacob, yeah, and his two wives, the 7 years, the 1 week, yep, being 7 years.
Yep.
Those things help us. This matters by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know, and here's our key verse again, yep, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man.
And the living's not talking about a separation between living and dead on the earth. It's talking about those that are alive at the time on the earth versus those that are in heaven in eternal existence.
And the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man and giveth to whomsoever he will. So he takes one down, puts another.
Mm-hmm.
7 years later, he's going to bring Nebuchadnezzar back.
He's going to bring Nebuchadnezzar back.
And restore him. To give it to whomsoever will and setteth it up over it, the basest of men. I looked up that word. Basest isn't in Webster's, but base is. Mm-hmm. It basically is a whole list of things. Low in place, low in station,
yeah,
low value, just a common person.
Yeah.
He sometimes puts that kind of person in charge of a kingdom.
Absolutely.
This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Oh, here it is, first person. Know thou, O Belteshazzar, now thou, O Belteshazzar, king talking to Daniel, mm-hmm, declare the interpretation thereof. And so the king's dream was about a tree that was cut down and stripped of its branches and its fruit scattered. The stump and roots were left in the ground. In verse 16, the story begins to shift to the real meaning of the dream. It is obviously likening Nebuchadnezzar to a tree whose branches stretched around the world and supplied life to so many, but his kingdom was to be cut down, and he would live like an animal for 7 years. The stump and the roots were preserved, representing the redemption of the king and his return to his throne after 7 years. And you'll see that in the following verses of the chapter, where Daniel actually interprets this for him and tells him, "Thou art the tree."
Here we see that a tree is prophetically representative of a king or a kingdom and a nation.
Now, it's interesting here, Doc, when you get to verse 19, when Daniel hears the dream, he immediately knows the interpretation, yep, of that dream. And look what it says here. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. I mean, yep, shocked.
Well, he's thinking, too. Should I tell the king what's going to happen?
You've already hit what I'm leaning to. Daniel's, yeah, thinking, how do I tell him what's getting ready to happen to him? He'll have me put to death or something.
Yeah.
How do I tell him this? And boy, this is precious right here, what happens. This shows that even a lost king, he was a great king because of his stature and his character. Listen to this. I was astonished, and his thoughts troubled him. He's talking about Daniel. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee.
Yeah.
The king looked at Daniel, and he understood what Daniel was told.
You know what it means now. Go ahead. It's okay.
Yeah. The king
already
knows.
I'm a big boy. I'll take it.
This is something bad, and I know, Belteshazzar, you're worried about telling me because you think I'll cut your head off. Tell me. I want to know. I've asked you to tell me, yeah, the truth. Tell me what it means.
I think that's what it's
talking
about.
This is pretty powerful here.
Yeah.
Let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. In other words, your enemies are going, yep, to cast you out. Mm-hmm. His princes and servants, yep, they're going to throw him out.
It must have been a deep state there.
Yeah. The deep state didn't start with, yep, Donald Trump, did it? And I wrote this, Daniel was troubled for an hour because he knew the dream was about the removal of King Nebuchadnezzar, yeah, from the kingdom. You think Daniel, yeah, had an affection for, right, this man?
Oh, I think
cared
so.
Cared about him?
Oh, I think so. Yes. And
Can't we have an affection and a respect for, yeah, for a lost man?
Right.
Sure, we should.
Sure.
The king saw Daniel's struggle and encouraged him to make known the dream. Boy, this is a relationship here that's very interesting.
Yeah.
From a lost Babylonian king with gods of stone and a prophet, a man of God.
You know, I think it also shows us that in our witnessing, We ought not be intimidated by what others are going to think. We just need to be straightforward and tell it. And I think people really want to know the truth.
Well, before we run out of time, and we can't go through the whole story.
Yeah, time's going to get away.
There's some observations. Men of the kingdom drove Nebuchadnezzar off the throne. It is obvious that he was forced out. Nebuchadnezzar is forced to live as an animal in the wilderness. This banishment would last 7 years. And we see God's providence at work here to humble the king and to bring him to repentance.
Well, here's another thought, though, with that, Dan. And that is, you read the rest of the text, which you don't have time. That is, it's 12 months from the time he has his dream.
It is.
Before it happens. God always is gracious and long-suffering.
And I had that underlined. I was going to talk about that.
And I'm convinced he was under conviction during that year.
Look what it says. At the end of 12 months, this is verse 29.
Yeah.
He walked in the palace. This is the king. Mm-hmm. Of the kingdom of Babylon.
Look,
the king spake and said,
"Is
not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of my kingdom by my might
Shows
and my
you
power
what pride will do.
And the honor of my majesty?"
Yep.
And right after that, "The kingdom is departed from thee," it says.
Yep.
"There fell a voice from heaven saying, O king, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from
thee." Fitting men. Picture of a person who's now realized his sin problem and he's fallen under conviction. And then redemption is coming.
So here we have read the personal story of the redemption and restoration of King Nebuchadnezzar. He admits and confesses his sin against God and submits to the true God.
Right.
And just a few lessons here. God desires all men to be saved, not just kings. God brings circumstances into our lives for his purpose. Number three, God can make riches out of rags. Number four, listen to the wisdom of God-called men. People like Daniel. Hey, you got a pastor? He's a God-called man. Listen to the wisdom of your pastor. Number five, lastly, place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a rich chapter.
Redemption. That's what it's all about. It's what the book's about. It's all about redemption, isn't it?
Prophetically, it's, I believe, deeper in the fact that it is a picture of the Babylonianism and its roots saved.
Yeah, and it's coming back.
It's been back all this time, and it'll be the final thing in the ending of the tribulation days.
Yeah. And so a chapter stuck right in the middle of this important book of prophecy, dealing with not only the return of Babylon, but redemption.
Right.
And the fact that redemption is what it's all about. And folks, I hope that you have experienced redemption in your life.
Yes.
I hope you know where you're going when you die. I hope you're ready to meet Jesus because he's coming back. He's going to take us out of here. The trumpet's getting ready to sound. Do you know him? Have you been redeemed? Have you been born again? Contact us. We'd love to help you with that. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.